A glistening large circular building and concrete yards surrounded by plenty of green grass sounds like a description of a New Zealand dairy farm. And it is. But this one we're about to visit is a little different. When you say stand at the top of the hill here and look out over this and look out over the property, what do you think? Or how do you feel?
I suppose I got a bunch of mixed emotions. I mean, when you look out over the lake, you think what's such a beautiful place to live. When you look over the property, you see the trustees and the people that came before the current board and what they've achieved from when it started. Then you look over your new projects and you think, gee, I hope these are going to work.
William Konui is chairman of the Waituhi Kuratau Māori Trust, and we're looking over a 2,000 hectare sheep and beef farm on the southwestern side of Lake Taupo, about 15 minutes along the western access road from Turangi. It's land that was given to the Trust in 1938 in exchange for some Podocarp forest, which the government wanted to add to Tongariro National Park. It's owned by about 140 shareholders, predominantly from one family. The new project there in Grosston is sheep milking.
Oh yeah, we're in a pretty picturesque place. Got the lake, the mountains, and some good farming countryside.
It's quite gentle rolling country, isn't it, actually?
It is. It's quite easy to farm. It's a little bit prone to droughts and summer dry, but, I mean, that's part of a system where you have to plan for it, and, you know, as long as you've got your plans in place, you should be able to get through the year. You know, you can't budget for those one-off droughts like everybody had 2 years ago, but, you know, you've got to recover from those and move on.
And that you've done, you've just completing your first year. This is an impressive milking shed here.
Yeah,
big outlay. Where did it come from?
Oh, we visited all those pioneer sheep milking farmers down the South Island, and there's one in the one or two in the North Island, and quite a few goat farms in the Waikato, and sort of looked at their systems, the way they did things, asked them what they would do differently if they had the chance, and stuck all these ideas together along with our own feasibility study and come up with the system we have today.
And what is it?
Basically a rotary dairy, 80-bale dairy, rotary that's designed to milk 5,000 sheep. It's got an automatic cupri moving system that we specifically designed with a company in Hamilton, and we're hoping to promote that system in terms of our IP, and can be utilised for goats as well as sheep. Has a feeding system like goats or like cows, they can do the same thing. It's basically a training mechanism. We give them 100 grams of a feed composite to teach them to go onto the platform. We try and make it friendly. We've got them all facing inwards so they can see each other, try and calm them down. You know, a calm animal produces more milk. We milk our hoggets right through to our six-year-olds. We've got our recording system that allows us to measure how much milk each produces, and we cull them accordingly, take the bottom ends out. But because we're only in our sort of first full season, we have to start somewhere. We get to, they've all got their own individual tags, and we know which ones are producing more and which ones are producing less. And eventually the name of the game for us is to probably milk lesser sheep, but with greater volumes, and spread it over a longer period.
Intensifying a sheep enterprise sits well in the Taupo catchment, where those farming near the shores of the lake have restrictions placed on how much nitrogen can leach from their farm. Plus, as William Konui says, the Trust was looking for a new challenge.
Back in 2002, 2003, my father was the chairman then, we had a reasonably healthy bank balance, doing quite well, and reasonably, we're averagely well in terms of our farming operation, and we were looking at other investments to get into. So the board then decided to have a three-day investment seminar where we invited all different industries, both agriculture, property, horticulture, viticulture, you name it, we had it. And we held it over 3 days, and we hosted everybody to turn up, and our consultant at that time, she suggested that there was a group down the South Island milking sheep, and there was a guy in the North Island involved in sheep milking, and asked us if we'd we could invite these two people to come along and speak, and we decided it was a good idea. So over the three-day period, we had all these people come in and pitch to us about how they could make us money, and this is the industry to get in, including the dairy industry, both cows and sheep. After the three-day period, we decided that given some of the guys that come along, some experts in farming, that we could make more money out of boosting up our sheep and farming operation. So we changed our genetics entirely on the farm in 1 year, moved to East Frisians, and shifted our lambing percentage over 3 year period from early 120s up to 150. One Māori farmer for this region, northern central region, and then we thought that 150% wasn't enough, and we thought we could shift it higher, and we got some expert advice again and found us another composite ram composite, and then we boosted our lambing percentage up again. And so prior to the drought, we were sort of had a 5 year period where we were doing reasonably good stats, survival to say, or in the high, mid to high 170s. That helped increase our income, and we sort of, what are we going to do next? And then we looked back at our investment strategy, and we were looking at deer farming, and one of the trustees said, oh, why don't we relook at milk and sheep? So we said, oh, well, that's not a silly idea, because we saw our composite ewes, and they got quite large udders, and we said, well, there's another product there going to waste. Why not look at it? We contacted Ag Research and spoke to them and said, would you help us do a feasibility study into sheep milking? And they were quite enthused with that idea, and that's how we got to this stage. Spent 3 years researching it, and finally that's what we have today, a sheep dairy unit on Kuratau. Oh, you picked me some water, Chris.
That for lunch.
Susan, this is our station manager, Ellie Reed.
Nice to meet you. It's the sheep milking that I've come to look at. How's that gone? You're coming to the end of the first season?
Yeah, well, it's sort of first decent season. We did a little bit the last season just to get the shed was finished, and we started milking. We milked for about 3 months, didn't we?
Yeah.
It hasn't gone too bad. Like, the systems are starting to work a lot better. There's still room for improvement. The ewes, we're sort of working through them a bit and getting a top end out of them that are milking a bit better. We've sort of found they probably haven't milked quite as well as we expected, but we've sort of started crossbreeding with East Frisians, poke a bit more East Frisian blood through them, which will help.
And how many have you got?
We've been milking on average about 1,600-1,800 through the shed a day. And that's, we've staggered our lambing right from started in August right through to November. And that's, we've been culling them quite hard, just taking them out. Anything that's not milking well, not performing, gets thrown back out into our commercial mob, and then we'll just put some more back in.
So that's about sort of 4,000, 4,500 over the season?
Yeah.
Ewes?
Well, potentially we want to be sort of doing that. We want to be sort of looking at 2,000 to 3,000 a day through the shed. But it's just, we've got to get the right type of sheep. And as the milk production goes up, everything becomes a lot more efficient. So.
What's it been like handling milking sheep?
I just had a challenge.
Tell it, Juice.
Well, I don't actually do it a hell of a lot. Chubb does it. I was surprised how well they have settled down. Like, we're feeding them on the platform, so once they settle onto that feed, it makes a hell of a difference. They settle down pretty well.
And they're being each ewe's been milked just once a day.
Yeah, at the moment we tried milking them twice last year, and we weren't getting a lot more milk, and the labour cost was sort of cancelling that out. So we decided to just stick with once and probably milk a few more sheep. I think in time we'll go back to twice. But yeah.
We spent 3 years researching this project before the trust has actually decided to commit to building and moving down this path. So, and we did go overseas with half a dozen ideas in terms of products that we could sell internationally, and visited a few companies in Japan. Come back with some new products. We've got those stashed away, and because before you can supply those, it's about all you need to commit to all year round supply, and you need volume to do that, and you need to be able to develop your local market, enable you to commit other farmers into sheep milking, to be able to do that all year round supply. And at the moment, we haven't convinced or spoken to other entities about possibly them milking sheep, because we need to develop the whole system and be vertically integrated to allow us to get that traction and to start moving internationally.
And what are some of the other products?
Oh, I can't say it, because if I say, you know, I'm giving all our good secrets away and people will get to jump on us.
Okay, so on the sheep front with you, what is the season?
We started mid-late August, and we're probably going to go for another couple of weeks max. Yeah, we could probably push it a little bit longer if we wanted, but it was just we're trying to just get our sheep, you know, so we can get them in lamb again and line them up for next season, so we can stretch it out a little bit next season.
Those are the problems when you move into a new venture like this, is that you've got to change your whole management on farm to enable you to get your products at the end. Lambing split mobs different times of the year is not a traditional thing, and it creates different problems in itself.
Yeah, we found that the lambing percentage has dropped a bit. You know, lambing early ewes, it's a bit hard to get them in lamb. And also the later ones, you know, we mated some in June here, which is June. Oh. June here is not very flash, it's frosting. Yeah, so it's not ideal mating time. But, this season we're looking pretty good. The ewes are in really good nick, and you know, we're setting them up, hoping to get plenty of lambs out of them. At the moment, it's sort of, we're trying to do sort of two things really. We're trying to get a milk out of them and a lamb also. And in time, the milk will probably be more of a earner than the lambs. But we still need the lambs, so it's a bit of give and take on both sides at the moment.
John's our dairy manager.
You've enjoyed it, is it? Oh yeah, heck yeah! It's added a big string to my bow, and kept me more interested in sheep farming, because it's just something completely new and very interesting. It seems like it's going to take off. I'm working for a very professional outfit who put a lot of time and money into this. It's no half pie stuff done around here. It's bloody good, actually.
Find the job.
Oh, very interesting, thank you.
And what's your name?
Mary.
Mary, yep. How long have you been doing it, just this season?
Last season and this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hora will like an interview. Oh no. Pare, she's around the corner, she'll like an interview. Yep, go and interview.
I did go and talk to Puds and Hills as well, but it was pretty hard because they were still milking. The Kuratau farm employs 7 people, not all of them full-time, and then 2 or 3 times a week a tanker collects the ewe milk and takes it to the factory near Thames.
So it's a pretty impressive operation, William, but what happens if you can't get more involved in the industry? You know, is it survivable with just sort of you as a big operator and the few smaller ones?
Well, because we've got our own factory, and we're doing organic cows products as well, we have a dual product range. But no, we need to get bigger. We know that the future is in exporting and making the products that we'd like to do to those Asian countries. And we need volume to do that. So for us, it's about ensuring that we're able to survive during that period, ensuring that it's putting together a good business case to prospective farmers and saying, here's some opportunities, here's how you milk sheep, here's who you go to, here's the systems you need. Would you like to be part of this and become a sort of like a cooperative type style operation? Mm. Because we're doing it on our own, we have to do everything. I mean, it's not just the farming things. I mean, we've got a lot of projects attached basically to sheep milking, about around the science, around probiotics, around systems for milking sheep, there's a lot of different things we've had to handle all on our own. And we're trying to juggle all these balls and do all these things. I mean, we recently held prior to Christmas, I think it was in October, we had a joint Australian-New Zealand Milk Association. We decided to start up, and we called it Australian-New Zealand Dairy Ewe Association. And we invited some Australians to come across. We also Skyped in live some people from United States and from Perth to talk about sheep milking and We invited scientists and cheese makers and things like that. And we held it. We funded it ourselves.
Wow.
And just to get public awareness and just to get the people involved in the industry together and, you know, to help promote these products.
And has that sort of moved on in those months in terms of public awareness, do you think?
Oh, well, I mean, it's helped our operation. I mean, some of the people we've invited are now taking our fresh milk for supply in terms of their niche cheese makers. And, you know, there's a Whitestone Cheese, for instance, is now one of our suppliers, and Over the Moon and Mercer Cheese. So we're quite pleased with that. It's helped us in terms of what we can do with our volumes. We're the newest and the largest, in the North Island. So we're trying to drive this industry in the North Island.
The project, as you can imagine, hasn't come cheaply. William Kōnui won't put a figure on it, but the rotary shed alone was $1 million. And then add to that the ag research projects looking at the positive attributes of sheep milk, buying the processing factory, and product branding and marketing.
You know, if we had to do it again, I'd still do it again because we're quite passionate about it. We've learned a lot since we've started. It's very stressful. Sometimes I go to sleep and wonder, did we make the right decision there or the right decision here? And when it comes down to it, if you plan well, resource well, and do your homework, and then present your information, and the board likes what they see, and make a decision, you've got to stick to it. 2 years down the track, we're not where we'd like to be, or we can't pull out.
And where did you think you would be by now?
Oh, you know, our long-term vision for our trust is to be one of the leading functional food companies in New Zealand. That's what we'd like to be. We'd no longer be a farming trust. We'd be a functional foods company that happens to have a farming operation underneath it.
William hopes the neighbouring trusts will grab this vision too. He says they're locked into farming, so getting into milking sheep would be suitable. This season, about a third of the Waituhi Kuratau Trust milk's gone to other specialty cheesemakers, and about a third's been turned into yoghurt, ice cream, blue vein, pecorino, gouda, feta and camembert at their Matatauke factory. And the other third will be exported.
And we're currently filling a contract for fresh milk to Australia, where we're taking it to this place and we're bagging it in 1,000-litre bags, and it's been instantly frozen. And we're going to, that shipment's about half full at the moment, that container, and then it'll be off to Australia.
Wow. So frozen liquid milk.
That's correct.
Basically. Yes. So you wouldn't turn it into milk powder or?
No, not yet. That milk powder is one of the long-term visions for us, and whereby the landowners of this station, we own geothermal land in Tākānu, and, a geothermal power plant or geothermal drying plant for us is just fits right within our strategic plan, long-term vision.
The Trust has its products in some of the bigger supermarkets in Auckland and also specialty outlets in Bay of Plenty. But it hasn't all been plain sailing this season. For a month and a half, they did have to dump milk because part of the plant wasn't up to spec. So it's a big project going on down there.